All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nast?
What's up, Rigorelia? Holy shit. Look at the tank. Where the hell are you? Because I know you were at our men's league game again Sunday night. Where the heck are
you? Sorry, dude. Yeah, I wish you could see my view. I'm in Miami hanging out in the 80 plus weather the last couple of days.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
I've got a sick toque on, but I've got a toque on.
It's cold here. Keep that bean warm.
Oh, yep. My God.
Just speaking at a psychedelic conference here in Nast, talking about my mental health, concussion issues.
That's awesome.
All that good stuff. Trying to pave the way in a new industry.
Is it you and like other athletes or?
Yep. Yeah. We're speaking actually today on a panel, psychedelics and sports, really again, talking about, TBI concussions, right? Contact sports and then mental health, right? Anxiety, depression, PTSD, all that good stuff. And how we can impact people's mental health. You know, it's the future of psychotherapy. So happy to be a part of it. I've been in a progression since the cannabis stuff. I mean, you know, cannabis is obviously a helpful tool, but as we know, there's many other tools out there that are, you know, sidelined, if you will.
Yeah.
So just trying to fight the good fight and hopefully get people nature's medicine here in the next 5 years, you know?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Be back tonight though, brother. And we can reconnect.
Oh, nice.
Get back on the ice and
sick invite, by the way.
Right. I knew you'd be grinding steel and you couldn't make it down south of Miami, dude.
I would have brought my machine with me.
I know you would have.
I don't know how many people are skating in Miami Beach.
No, it doesn't look like a whole lot, man.
Probably not.
Yachts.
They're rollerblading.
Yeah, right, exactly. Palm trees, yachts. I mean, smiles on people's faces and no face diapers. It's pretty nice.
No face diapers. No shit. Hey, listen. We were there Friday, didn't get to see the finals, but man, our boys, the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Three big wins.
Dominated. All three teams won the National Warrior Classic, the big trophy. Nice trophy, too.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
That was cool, man. That was awesome watching them celebrate together and all the hard work they put in, man.
Right.
It was really cool to see.
Yeah, really absolutely. Cool to see. Yeah, you know, it's fun watching the videos that have been posted and, you know, just the joy and, you know, like, yeah. It doesn't matter what level you win at. Winning is winning, right? I mean, there's something so powerful about that feeling. And, you know, the Warrior program is such a special program. Brad Marsh has done a hell of a job putting that thing together. But just to see that, you know, that raw, real emotion with the win, yeah. You know, it's collective group win and everyone's feeling it. You know, it brings back memories, obviously, like, you know, from my childhood Calder Cup, yeah. Stuff and whatever else. But, you know, props to those guys for pouring in the effort and gluing together and then, you know, somehow squeezing out three tiers of wins. You know, that's a pretty powerful stuff. So props to all the boys rocking, yeah. The Warriors jerseys.
One of the coolest things was on Sunday, the Fly guys were practicing, so they could hear all the noise. The place is going nuts, and there's a cool little video on the Warriors IG page, probably Twitter and everything else. But it was like Risto was out there, Nate Thompson, Beezer, I think Yandel was out there, JVR. I'm probably missing a couple.
I think Atkinson was out there.
Yeah, Sealer, maybe. I can't remember, but that was awesome. And they were just banging on the glass. They were, yeah. Jacked for the boys, man. That must have made me feel even better having those guys step out there and watch them. That was really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love to see that. You know, just you always wish success for everybody. And the program in general is a huge success, but nothing quite like winning Nast, you know that.
Oh, man, I love winning.
That feeling. And then, you know, speaking of the Flyers, I mean, I think it's been two games since last week. And
yep.
Overtime loss and a big win there in Wash. But the Fly guys are looking good, man.
They are, man.
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
You know, like, they lose in overtime. They get that point, which is huge. You come home with 3 out of 4 points. But yep. You know what? You're losing that game. You get a big goal by Lotz late to tie it up, man. You know, tough goal in overtime, you know. I was hoping that didn't go in.
But, I know, right?
It looked like it did go in. But either way, yep. They come back, win in Washington, which obviously they have a good team. Ovi, all those guys.
Yeah.
Big win, man. Big win. Now we got big T.O. Sim Daddies in the house Wednesday.
Yeah. Right? That'll be interesting. Yep. Be nice to see him back in Philly. But yeah, no, I think the boys are cruising, you know, goaltending duo, you know.
Yeah.
It's a healthy combination. Yep. Risto back in the lineup.
Yeah,
you know,
be nice to get Ellis back here. Hopefully, yeah, soon. Right. And I'm not really sure what's going on there, but hopefully he's back soon. But Sealer, I like his game, man. I like that guy's energy.
Keeps growing on me more and more.
Yeah, man. Honestly, he just looks pissed off, and I love it.
Yeah,
he kind of plays that way, right?
For sure. But yeah, they're rolling. You got to keep that vibe up and keep executing, finding ways to win. You know, some greasy. Exactly. Some greasy points on the road, and it's the way it usually is. It has to happen that way, but
not an easy league.
No, definitely not. So
not an easy league. So
man, we got enough fans of Philly land there, Nast.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. This trip is getting closer and closer.
Yes,
Riggs.
It is.
I've been known to do a little damage in Arizona. I can't
I'm
wait.
I'm sure you have.
It's
you'll get your son down there.
Oh, yeah. I'll be out by the pool.
Should you bring your sunscreen there, Nas? Take care of that skin.
Should I bring 30 and apply it twice for 60?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Extra protection,
wait.
Dude.
Extra protection, man. You got to have it when you're in the desert there. I can't wait, though, man. I love this group, man, fans of Philly. And just so pumped they've invited us and included us
in
their parties, man.
Yeah, so all your Flyer fans out there, if you got some extra spare time and you want to hop on the road and see the boys in action, check out Fans of Philly, and they do an amazing job. Essentially, a sports Philly travel agency for all the sports. But we're just doing the Flyers.
That's right, baby.
Obviously. Wait. So looking forward to that as well. Get on the road again. Have a little fun with the fans.
You gonna have a glass of wine or something, Riggs?
I don't know, Nast. We'll see.
Twist your arm as hard as I can.
My arm isn't as rubber as it used to be.
I know it's not. Hey, but
we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe someone else can help me twist it. There'll be a lot of people from Fans of Philly. Might be
some Arizona herb floating around there too, Nast. Who knows?
I wonder if there is. Hey,
we'll have to look too far to find it.
Yeah, I don't think you will. Big news also coming up with the alumni game that you are playing in.
Yes, I wish I could have caught a couple reps in this week. maybe by Friday morning I might be able to squeeze one in. But talking to Robert Esch there.
Yeah,
he's getting after it, getting a couple reps in. trying to limber up the old hip flexors and groins. So he's not a tin man out there, but looking forward to it, man. You got an insane crew of Flyer legends, obviously. Flyers alumni, Brad Marsh again has done an amazing job of recruiting, bringing these guys in. So we got the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
And then the old grocery stick, Riley Cote, floating around out there. So,
You're in.
I'm in. Yeah.
You're lean. I'm blessed. You're lean. You're in shape. You're lean. Yeah, you're
going to be best shape of my life, dude.
Flying. You'll be flying.
Maybe squeeze out a couple of G's with the.
Hey,
COVID.
Who knows? I'm guaranteeing one goal from you. So don't fuck it up. You got to get me one.
What about an old fashioned Tilly with Brash?
Well, it's been a while since you guys tallied it up, but now your teammates out there. You can't do
Are we
now.
On the same team? I didn't even look at the roster.
I don't know. I didn't see the roster yet. Maybe you'll have to.
Oh, man. I hope not. My face has been preserved in the last 11 years, man. Don't need to be taking bombs off the old beef.
Oh, God. I wouldn't. Well, I don't know how you did it.
No, thanks. But, smoked a peace pipe with him. Never do that.
I don't blame you.
All right, dude. You ready to rock? Episode 48, Robert Esch.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, let's go, buddy. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemeyer. This week, we are so thrilled to have the man, number 42, Robert Chico Esch. What's up, Eschy?
Not much. Very, very glad to be here with you, gentlemen.
We've
followed you for a while now, so I'm pumped up.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you guys forgot about me for a while.
Are you kidding me, man?
No way, man.
Dude, look at you. Just coming off the... For you guys that don't know, Eschy's making a comeback here. Look at this guy.
He's all got the sweat beads.
he had the full team after his team just went 3-0 this weekend come in and for a practice for him to get ready for the upcoming event we'll talk about, and then his comeback. What's up, buddy? What's going on?
Not much. I actually did just get off the ice, so I'm looking forward to our Monday game, the alumni game. Got a lot of great friends coming there. A little bit nervous, but I'm not going to lie.
There you go. Get some reps in, right? You got to limber up those groins and hip flexors.
Yeah. The puck bounces off a little differently these days. Now I'm a little chunkier.
Dude, you look good when we saw you a couple months ago, man. You look really good, man. I saw you. I was like, holy fuck. Chico, what's going on, man? And then you're getting a net, and fucking fast twitch muscles are going. I'm like, holy, this guy's coming back, boys. He's coming back. You're
looking limber.
Well, I was actually really nervous going into that. I got on the ice three times. And the three times that I was on the ice, my lungs are coming through my chest. My heart's coming through my chest. Like, this is going to be so horrible down there. And I was actually nervous going down to Philly. You know, and then I realized all the guys were on our team, which was good, like Breer and Kylie. I'm like, oh, you know what? You know, it's not going to be too bad. I don't think there was one warm-up shot. There's no organization going on whatsoever. And we just went in, and it was awesome. It felt great. And then I didn't even get really tired out there. I had a fun time. Must have been the adrenaline carrying me through.
Yeah, hey, right. Eschy, speaking of that game, which was really cool, you guys made it in for the Warriors, who we do have to say they just won – all three tiers won the National Warrior Classic. which is really cool. They're good buddies of ours, but it was really cool you came in. But I remember I was helping the Warriors out because you guys said, oh, we don't want Nasty down here. So we'll just take his old man. He's funnier and chubbier. But I remember looking on the ice and, oh, wow, Dave Brown, Riley Cote, Todd Fedoruk. I mean, I'm missing a few guys. I'm like, could
Jordan
you
Shelley.
Cody. Oh, yeah, Shells. Like, there were a bunch. Who's the older? Oh, Al Secord, Rocky Secord. Yeah. I'm like, no one would fuck around with this team. You might throw these five on the ice now, and there'd be a lot of space for these fuckers, man.
There was a very tough lineup you guys had out there. Awesome, tough lineup.
That's old school, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it'll be a little different animal on Monday there for you, Chico. You'll be facing some of the high-end goal scorers that you had on your team.
Yeah, I know. When I started, I got a Peloton a while ago. My fiance got one for me, and I love it. I ride the Peloton like probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, whatever fits in. And so I started working out again. But you get on the ice, it's a whole nother. It doesn't matter what you do. Once you get on the ice, you just suck. You know, yeah. I'm so
true.
Kids, they look like deer out there. They don't even get tired. They're just up and down the ice all over the friggin' place. It is, man. And you know, it's I am looking forward to it. But you know, the last when they called me, like the last couple weeks, today was my first day on the ice. But I did start working out a little harder. I'm seeing like Brashears out there, you, Friggy, Briere. I saw Simone Gagne. I'm like, I haven't seen him since I played with him. I know that guy's in great shape. Just look at him. His hair looks like it's the same as when we played
him. Yeah, right?
The Gagne.
Yeah, the guy's mint, you know? And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, this is going to be a shit show. So I got on the ice today, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have some of the guys get me ready for Monday.
That's nice. Awesome, man.
You get a couple more reps in the rest of the week? You got the ice booked the rest of the week?
Yeah. It's not going to make me any better. I got to feel like I put the work in, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, sure.
I definitely won't be any better after 5 days. I haven't skated in 5 years up until that game that we played with the Warriors.
I couldn't believe it when you told me that when I saw you, because you honestly, no kidding around, you looked like you'd been, I'm like, oh, you must get on the ice with the boys. You know, we'll get into your role with the team. That you're president of, but I was like, damn, you must be on the ice a lot. You're like, nope, been 5 years. I was like, holy shit, man, you look
weird all the time, right?
Dude, hey, you're the press, man. Get some new shit.
Yeah, right.
Get whatever you want, brother, man. It's your show.
Farms doesn't hook me up on that stuff. Oh, I have him hook me up for my kid.
there you go.
My kid than me.
Yeah, there you go.
He is the best, though.
Oh man, yeah, he's great, Parms. I was just talking to him the other day, man. He loves you, obviously. I can only imagine how well you take care of him because he always says it. But he's a good dude, man. I got to work with Parms for a little while here.
I'll tell you what, I've never, you know, like obviously you were one of the greats, you know, Stan Wilson out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some great people that make their way into the NHL, and when I look at Parms, I'm blown away. I remember when New Jersey was coming in. I was just like, listen, if there's one person that can tie this whole building together, because we operate concessions, you know, we run the arena and we run the team. I'm like, if there's one guy that understands this convoluted mess, it's Parms.
Yeah, right.
You know, he just gets it. And that locker room is spotless all the time. He's actually the one in there vacuuming, you know, folding towels. He doesn't pass the buck on anybody. So it's I got nothing but love and respect for that man.
I always would bust his chops when we were working together when I was came up with you guys, and we hired him for the Phantoms. Mm-hmm. And I always knew when he was rattled, Eshie, because I would come down and he had rearranged the whole room.
The OCD's
like,
kicking
like in. His office was rearranged, and then like the
I remember that.
You really couldn't rearrange the skate room, but he did. I'm like, how the fuck did you move the skate machine? And then 2 days later it'd be back. And shit was moved. I'm like, what's wrong? Talk to me, bro.
Yeah.
Just talk to me, man. What's going on, man? You're moving this skate machine that weighs a ton. I don't even know how you're doing it. But he is, man. He is so organized. I really knew him anyway, but that was one of the things I knew about him, was how organized, and he loves the job, man. And that's,
you know what, and for, it's a tough job. You know better than anybody, that's the toughest job in all sports, of being a trainer. You know, you get horrible hours, you get back, you know, and most of the time you're dealing with spoiled athletes, and they don't treat the trainers the right way unless you're in a good culture and a good organization. But you know, it's a tough gig, and to keep a room spotless, you know, when you don't feel like doing it, and you just, I think that's a testament to an individual personally.
100%. And he's been with you for quite a while, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You've been
there? Eight years. Yeah. Yeah. Eight years. Awesome. Well, no, this is our ninth year. Our first year was Johnny Forget up in Ottawa.
Oh, my boy, Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Johnny. I know Johnny.
Yeah. First year running this team, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't know whether it's shit or steal second, but I had an awesome time with these guys. Awesome time. He's a good man.
Wow. So you've been at this for 9 years. This is the ninth year you're president of the Utica Comets?
Yeah. So when I retired, I had a farm for a while when I was playing over in Russia. The farm up in Utica here. So I raised cattle and chicken and produce, and I'd supply my restaurant. When I was with the Flyers, I started up this restaurant, Aquavino. Long story short, then I kind of got into farming when I was in Russia. And then a year after I retired, I started up a company called Mohawk Valley Garden. It's an S corporation that has subsidiary LLCs underneath it. And what it is Utica Comets, Orb Food and Beverage, and it's Garden Entertainment. Mohawk Valley Garden, kind of like Madison Square Gardens. Our building here was a prototype, ended up being a prototype for Madison Square Gardens, cable tension roof. Oh. But oddly enough, when I was in Philadelphia, there's a great guy, I know you guys know him, Peter Luco.
Right.
Yes.
Peter Luco, he started up Comcast Spectacor or whatever it was at the onset there. He basically set it up with Ovation and all these different, you know, companies. Pacquiao was the ticketing arm and all this. And I used to talk to him even when I played with the Flyers about that, because it was something I always wanted to do when I came back. And so, yeah, I the company that I own, like I said, it's Mohawk Valley Garden. We book concerts. We have a soccer team. We basically are a third-party operator for the AHL team. So Vancouver, when they were here, they didn't want to operate the AHL team. They had trust in me that I'd do the right thing, put money in the building. We've put over $20 million into the building. And, you know, in Utica, New York, that's a lot. You know, like a tertiary market like this, it's just really, really a lot. So, you know, we spoil the players. You know, they're young, they're dumb. You know, they're kind of like us when we were there, you know, young and dumb. And they,
or
they
me still.
Yeah.
Or me still.
So, and you try to, you know, you try to help them out. You know, they're becoming pros. They're coming out of junior or college, and, you know, it's a big jump. I don't care what pro league you're in. I don't care if it's Southern Pro, East Coast Hockey League, AHL, or overseas. I mean, that's a big – there's a big difference when you're collecting a paycheck. You got to make your own payments, you know, all these different things, vehicles, insurance. So, you know, we take pride in that here because I feel like we can help steer them into good careers. And we feel good. Like, you're going from, you know, your hometown to the small town to the big town. You know, we're kind of that small town in between, and our community takes pride in that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that much going on.
We got five restaurants too.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
I can't cook for shit.
You're not back there trying to, are you?
Yeah.
Never. People talk to me about it all the time. I'm like, listen, I don't even know what goes into shit. I have no clue whatsoever.
You're a businessman.
When I played in the NHL, I used to love going out, drinking nice wine, drinking beer, good steaks. I go, can you guys create that?
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right, man.
That's awesome. The building itself is, you know, when I was coaching the Phantoms there for a few years, I actually really enjoyed coming to Utica. That building for American League building, I mean, the lights and the setup there, I think you guys put on a nice production.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, it's so it was built in 1959, and not to get into the history of it, but the old Erie Canal ran through center ice. And when they backfilled the Erie Canal, they built this structure that had to have a light roof system on it. So that's where the cable tension roof system came. The engineer built Epcot too. I mean, it's an amazing story. It's one of 200 national engineering landmarks. And so when we started up, we always took care of the building. We wanted it to be perfect. And we had a lot. I mean, like, they were shutting the lights off this place, you know, in a year's time. So when I came in, it was like a really bad, bad situation. And it's not just me, obviously, as you guys know, it's a helping hands of like a whole community that pulled this together. It's definitely not just me or my company. But we put, like I said, we did redid the locker rooms. There's 10,000 square feet of locker rooms, put in video boards. We put in the LED Ephesus lights. You know, we did the whole facade. We added suites back in 2018, 26,000 square feet of suites and a restaurant that we own here. And it's just been a lot of fun. But the best part is like a civic pride lightning rod for our community. So we're not a university town. We don't have, you know, any of the big, you know, college football or anything like that. We're not too far from Syracuse, but on the same hand, you know, we really don't have that one thing that you can kind of clamor to. And I think that was the biggest thing here. Since year two, we've sold out every game, you know, and, that in American
That's
hockey.
That's hard, man. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, too, like, I mean, well, I was going to say it sounds dumb, but actually it doesn't. What player doesn't want to play in front of a packed house? That's amazing, man.
I don't care if it's 4,000 people or 40,000 people. I mean, you want the place to be packed. Right. I mean, I've said that a million times. I know, and we're like the smallest market by far, and we're the smallest building by far. And it's a little tricky to make it work. I mean, it's not like you're making a bunch of money, you know, in Utica, New York, operating an American Hockey League team. We do it because we love it. We've got great employees, great fan base. But you're right. I mean, the players, like, I was with Riley, Cale O'Reilly. Cale O'Reilly was in town the other day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Cale O'Reilly was sitting there. He's like, I just absolutely loved it here. And this is one of the best players, you know, American Hockey League history. I mean, right. This guy is awesome. You know, it's beyond me how he hasn't been in the NHL like his brother, but you know, he's just such a great guy. He's playing down at Lehigh, and he's just like, I absolutely cherish my time here. And it makes you feel good, you know, but that building's packed all the time, to your point, Nasty, and it's fun. It's very fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, as a pigeon like myself, being an equipment guy, I tell you what, it's a lot more fun to – you get into the games either way, but when the place is packed, you're at home, and they're going crazy, it's just more fun. And,
energy
makes the games better, especially for the players. Yeah, the energy and all that, man. That's fucking impressive, actually. Dave Andrews must be loving you.
Well, he's gone now.
Is he gone? I'm sorry. I didn't even know
Scott. Scott Housen's the new president CEO. Dave is, I mean, I got nothing but love and respect for that guy, too. You know, he's been at this a long time, but he's the chairman for the American Hockey League now.
Okay.
And Scott Housen's operating it. Another terrific guy. I mean, it's actually a great league. I mean, I forget what it is, 85 years old or something like that. And just the amount of development that comes through this league, and it's unbelievable. We had that Alex Holtz down here with New Jersey. This guy fires the puck like something I've never seen before. You know, it's just exciting. We got a lot of good goalies that come through here. Markstrom, Demko, DiPietro. Now we got Dawes. I mean, you're talking about quality people that you're seeing, you know, on their, you know, ascent up, you know, and I think that's fun for a community like Utica.
Oh, for sure. That's awesome.
Hey, Chico, tell us how, you know, when you transition from one affiliate to another, how that goes down. Because you were with Vancouver for, well, I guess 8 years, right?
Yep.
And then obviously it's all logistical, but can you walk us through how that goes down?
Yeah. So oddly enough, the guy that came here 9 years ago was, there's two guys, Lawrence Gilman and Victor DeBonis. And Lawrence, oddly enough, signed me to my two first NHL contracts in Phoenix. And awesome guy. We've always remained friends, even after I got traded to Philly. and we were close. And when I came back, the big thing that they wanted to see was, because nobody believed Utica was going to make it. Like, Dave Andrews was like, listen, Rob, I love you, but we're not putting a team in Utica. You know, so that was the first step. I had to convince them, no, I know what I'm doing. I swear, I know what I'm doing. You know, and he's like, good guy, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. Then I had to convince an NHL team to want to move to Utica. You know, then, you know, in order to do that, we had to, you know, get state funding to rehab the building. It's a building that I don't own. So I'm like, I'm not putting money in. I don't have that kind of money anyways. So the state put a bunch of money, like $2 million in year one to do the locker room scoreboard to get it up to AHL requirements. And then the last piece was getting the auditorium authority. I had to convince them, listen, you know, like there's a lot of risk here. I think I could get an AHL team in here. I think I could get money from the state. If I get both those things, you know, I got to have like the keys to the castle, so to speak. I got to be able to operate and not cut that pie up, because we're too small of a market. If you cut that pie up, whether it's concessions, ticketing, corporate, parking, whatever, it just simply won't work. There's not enough money in a market like this to do it. So they did. So Vancouver comes here, and most people don't realize it, but they had an out in their contract every year. So, and Lawrence always told me, Rob, it's not a matter of if, it's when we move back west. And I said, no, I get it. I go, I appreciate you guys giving me the shot. And year one, it was epic. Year two, it was even better. We went to the Calder Cup finals, lost to Manchester, you know, and we started selling out. And then everybody's watching the rest of the AHL, and they're like, there's something really special going on here in Utica. And so every year, Vancouver's like, no, we're good. No, we're good. We'll stay there. We'll stay there.
Yeah, right.
There. And then COVID hit. It got really weird. Like people just started making weird decisions. You know, it doesn't matter what sector of business they were in, they did. And Francesco Aquilini, the owner of Vancouver, just wanted to move out west, move to Abbotsford. I mean, you know, Riley played a long time. Nasty, you traveled. I mean, I think Abbotsford's a great spot, but I mean, shit, you're traveling 1,000 miles, your closest opponent, you know? And right. I think, you know, for me, it was a little bit of a letdown. And then, you know, and they had to let me know December 31st of every year what they were going to do. And so, you know, New Jersey said there might be smoke on the horizon here with Binghamton. Are you interested? And I'm like, fuck, I'm interested. I didn't tell anybody. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, sorry, now I'm calling Tom Fitzgerald all every day. Like, hey, Fitzy, what are you guys doing? Yeah. But then, they had some issues that they were working through there down in Binghamton, and I don't really know the particulars of it. I just know that it's absolutely a natural fit. I mean, Fitzy and I, you know, we talked about this shit five, six years ago. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to have, you know, even though I'm a Flyers guy, you know, it's always been a dream to have the New Jersey Devils back here, because we used to have the Utica Devils.
Right.
And that's
right.
Where, you know, I was a fan before I was a player. And my father took me to the games. I never even played the sport. And I used to watch the Utica Devils, you know, Eric Weinrich and Chris Terreri and Marty Brodeur. And I mean, Billy Guerin. I mean, it was like, you know, embedded in my head. And I always wanted to bring the New Jersey Devils back here. And so everything fell into place. You know, Vancouver's happy. We got a great relationship. New Jersey's happy. You know, and very seldom do you see that go down that way in American hockey league. Generally, there's – you know, people are pissed some way or another, you know, and that wasn't the case here. But to get back to your point, Riley, I think it was, I don't want to say dumb luck, you know, I think Vancouver was always open and honest with me. And that allowed me to be open and honest with other board of governors, is saying like, hey, listen, you know, like, this might be a reality, you know, would you be in the mix, you know? And we partnered up last year with St. Louis. So it was Vancouver and St. Louis here. And okay. Kevin McDonald and Armstrong, those guys were terrific. Just a great organization to be partnered up with us. And they loved it here. So there's always those relationships that we all know that we build throughout the sport of hockey. And this was one that really kind of fell into our lap at the right time.
It's amazing. So it's a little bit of a double win, right? I mean, it's a business win and then a personal win, right? I mean, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think the other thing for me is, you know, I don't want to say that something wouldn't have happened if Vancouver just decided to leave, but, you know, there's a lot of great markets out there that don't have American Hockey League teams. You know, it's not a right. It's a privilege to have an American Hockey League team. Right. And we know that, you know, full well here in Utica. We punch above our weight class here, but we're never cocky about the fact, like, I mean, shit, we're in Utica, New York. You know, like, there's great cities throughout this country that you could have American Hockey League teams in. So we're definitely honored to be able to do that. But I mean, New Jersey doesn't come here. There's not really another Dancing Parker.
Yeah.
You know, because the AHL is very fluid and it's almost transient sometimes where it, you know, you kind of, you know, there's teams that one day they're here, the next day they're there, and it could be just because two people are pissed at each other.
Yeah, right.
You know, some of these scenarios are just mind-blowing. Dave Andrews did a great job throughout, you know, the 8 years balancing all of that and trying to keep people toned down. I think Gary Bettman's done an amazing job of keeping teams in their market. You know, that was a big thing back when I was even playing with the Flyers. I mean, you know, Phoenix for a while there was underwater all the time. It's like, we're not moving markets. And, you know, paid dividends. You know, people get, you know, to, you know, I guess they get familiarized a little bit with what the league is. In the AHL, that's a big cross to bear. You know, when you're changing four or five teams a year, you know, new logos, new colors, all this stuff. It's like, it's tough to wrap your head. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan like you guys are. And you start thinking like, geez, what the hell is going on now? So that was another big part of New Jersey's 10-year agreement. We were always going to be called the Comets. That's something that's near and dear to me. And they were on the same side of that. And it was just, it really worked out well, to your point, though.
That's awesome. Man. Yeah. On this side of it, being a former equipment guy, it's a lot of work, you know, and for you too, but like the colors, everything, I don't know. I'm assuming you guys have a shop in the building, like where, you know, you're selling merch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you do to get rid of, like, how does that work?
Well, we ate a lot of that.
I didn't give away so much.
Thanks for bringing that up, Nassie.
Sorry, you're over that one.
I mean, it's like, I just was trying to think, like, I know Parms, like, with this, you brought up COVID. Like, I was talking to Parms the other day, and he's like, dude, like, I ordered skates in August, and I'm just getting them, like, beginning of August. And just, like, you know, having to get the jerseys. I know they're going to make sure you have jerseys, but it's the pants, the gloves, because I have a shop, and I outfit some teams, a few out of, like, in Ohio and some around here, and gloves factories were shut down. Like, and, I mean, it's pigeonry compared to, you know, professional. It's crazy.
It was tough. So Parms didn't come on. So we had our board of governors meeting in when was it? It was in May, I guess. So that's the last time when you can, you know, relocate teams. And, you know, Vancouver's moving out to Abbotsford. New Jersey's moving into Utica. But, you know, Parms didn't come on till like maybe, you know, 3 weeks, a month, maybe even a month and a half later. Okay. So I was dealing with CCM on the player jerseys, which I never have to do. Parms always took care of that shit. Yeah. He's got organized. He's got everything. And I'm like, Peg, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, what size is my order? I know how to order for the merch store. Jeez, the XL, a couple double X's. You know? But I'm ordering these player jerseys. I'm like, Parm, listen, I don't even know our roster. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. But, like, we got to get them in because – you know, it is an act of Congress to get those jerseys in. Even though they're players' jerseys and they're, you know, there's a lot of supply chain issues throughout even the player operation side, not the merchandise side, but the player operation side of things was really, really tricky and still is. Sticks, skates, you know, it's nuts right now. And nobody's to blame. It's a big convoluted mess and we'll get through it. But we had to paint the whole building. We ate a bunch of the merchandise costs from last year that we had left over, you know, and then we just started working. Oddly enough, we started working a little bit more with mom and pop shops, to be able to get, you know, at least something in the stores, you know, because we weren't able to have like 4 or 5 month lead times and try to pull that off. So we worked with smaller companies that were able to, you know, supply us up.
Yeah, nice. I can only imagine that's a lot of work that goes into that.
I was looking at the coaching staff, a couple of former Flyers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bernie. By design.
Yeah. Kevin Dineen actually is one of my favorite people. I've known him for probably 20 years almost. And he played with a lot of those Hartford guys, you know, like Weinrich, and Sean Burke was one of my best friends. And so he, when I found out he was in the running to be, you know, one of the coaches here, you know, he lives in Lake George, which is a couple hours down the road. Right. And I was just pumped up as could be. And we've had great coaches here. We've had Travis Green and Trent Call. Yep. And it really is a big part of, you know, the chemistry and the culture of that locker room. And oddly enough, all three of them are massively different. But it all works here for some reason. And, you know, Dino just has, you know, so much patience and talks to everybody. And I mean, he's a hockey icon, the whole family name from his father, his brothers, you know, it's a great family. He was captain of the Flyers. He's a captain pretty much, I think, everywhere he went. I'm pretty sure he was a captain everywhere he went. And, you know, I just been honored to have him. Another guy that's with us, I remember Turner Stevens used to tell me this all the time. He goes, the unsung hero of that New Jersey's team is Sergei Breland. And I was like, I didn't even know who Sergei Breland was. You know, I played on the Flyers. And I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. He must be unsung. No, he's got all these cups and shit.
Yeah, right.
So we play over in Russia together. So when I left the Flyers, I go and play over in Russia. He came over my second year in Russia. When I tell you, probably one of the top three teammates of all time in my personal life.
Yeah.
This guy was epic. He was just such a hard worker. Didn't care about anything other than winning. And even if you were winning and it wasn't the right way, he was pissed. You know, like he was we won the game 6-0. How could he be grumpy? You know, like Zuboff and Kasparaitis and Yashin and Peter Chyanik. And like our team was unbelievable. And it's like, what are you bitching about? We won the game 6-0. Like, how could you be mad? Yeah. We're going to go down. We're going to go down if we keep playing like this. This isn't the way to play. I'm like, well, these are your countrymen, not mine.
Yeah, right.
You go talk to them. I'm frustrated enough over here. But having him here, I told him that too. I go, you know, I never told you this. I go, but top three people all time. I go, you are him, buddy. You are.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Well, he's been an assistant with the Devils American League team for how many years? Like back when I was coaching, like 10 years plus probably.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. Yeah. Yeah. He lives down in New Jersey in Short Hills. He was in Albany, then Binghamton and Utica. I go, listen, I go, you got Central New York covered. It's time you got to get to New Jersey once and for all.
Yeah, right.
They didn't stay there. But I love that guy. Absolutely love him.
That's awesome.
And
Ryan, yeah, Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie's there.
Yeah, you know what? I just met him, though.
You didn't cross paths with him at the Flyers?
No.
No, he was after, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't know him that well.
Yeah.
I always knew of him, but I didn't know him. But down here, I know him. And I know New Jersey has nothing but a ton of respect for him. They got a great group. I mean, everything's great when you're 7-0, too.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Trainers are awesome. The coaches are awesome. The players are awesome. All the fans are great.
Concessions, cheerleaders.
I'll tell you right now, I don't care what anybody tells you, there's a big difference in concessions when you win and when you lose. I'll be the first to tell you that. Don't let any of these big companies tell you differently.
Oh. I thought there was some stress eating going on when the team's losing, you know, buy the extra bucket of popcorn and the extra dog.
Fuck!
You'd come in the season 220, you'd leave at 300.
Yeah, right?
220. Fuck, when was that?
I think it was like my second year. It's on that elliptical all the time.
Ryan used to love that.
Love the elliptical?
Well, remember he would be on there reading the paper and
read the paper in a sweat jacket.
Poor guy. He was not even
moving. Come off bone dry.
Could not have gone slower.
Well, he's reading the paper, Nass. What do you mean? I know. Why would you want to exert any energy to actual workout when you're reading the paper?
Pull his leg up to stretch. You know?
I read somewhere Hitch is your favorite coach there, Chico. I read somewhere that Hitch was your favorite coach.
I will say, I mean, there's no two ways about it. That guy is a brilliant coach. There's no two ways about that at all. But I didn't see the same. Like off the ice, I guess we were just two different people.
Yeah, right. I guess there's a separation between coach and human, right?
Like, yeah, one of the games I'll never forget. It was the media and stuff. I don't know. I've always had a big mouth, not in like a condescending way or a cocky way. Just upstate New York, you know, we're all blue collar people, and it's like you say what it is, right? So one of the media guys come in and he goes, "Have you ever wondered why Hitch is starting you against Buffalo? You know, they're 8-0 or 6-0 or 9-0. They got Breer and Drury up there dumping in hat tricks on every goalie out there." And I didn't start the season, and it was when the transition with Ninamaki and me. I go, listen, I haven't tried to get inside Hitch's head. It's a dark place. I don't like it. You know, and I didn't really think anything of it, right?
Yeah.
Next day, front page of the paper, Chico says it.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, and we were in Buffalo. I remember that.
Yeah. Fucking Hitch is loving this shit, right? It's 6-0 after two periods. Yeah, we're not pulling you either. Stand in that. I'll show you a dark place. 9-1. I got 150 people at the game from you. Come on. And Shell left and right. Breer, I think Breer had 9 points or something.
Hey, Riles. Oh, that's classic. So not that that was a funny night, but looking back, I'll never forget. You know, he called me Young Derek. You know, Young Derek. So we land in Buffalo, and I'm in the truck on the way. Me and Bricks are on our way to the rink, and phone rings, it's Hitch, and he goes, "Young Derek, I got an idea." He goes, "Let's cut that room in fucking half. It's too fucking big." The guy, I'm like, "Cut it in half? What the fuck? I didn't bring my tools, man. I can't fucking build a goddamn wall in there, right?" So he goes, "Just figure it out. I trust you." And I'm like, "Oh my fucking God." So I'm telling the guy, George Babcock's picking us up, and I'm like, "Can we like get a partition or something? He wants to cut the room and have." Remember, they had just made it was huge. It was like it was a big ass room. But I mean, who cares? You like that, right? Like you want room and guys can stretch.
You got your warm up in the locker room.
Yeah, right.
In the locker room. So we actually they had these stalls that you could roll in. So we roll them in, did that. I remember you guys coming in going, "What the fuck is going on?" Like, yeah, he wanted to split it up. I remember Hatch going, "This is fucking stupid." You know,
Hatch is playing on Monday, I heard.
I know he is. Yeah, that's right.
I can't wait.
That's awesome.
So like as she says, it's like six rep, like whatever. After one or two, and Terry Murray's an assistant, Riles, you'll love this. So I'm like standing in the room, and Hitch comes in to talk. So it's the first time he's trying to say, like, "Guys, it's all right. Let's just play. Let's finish out the game. You know, don't worry about it." Like, and you know, usually he's freaking out, right? Like whatever. And Murph is standing beside me, and he's kicking his feet. He's like, "This is fucking bullshit." He's so goddamn mad because Hitch is like laying off, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, and I remember like trying not to laugh. I'm like, and this is only about our eighth game of the year. Like, we had a tough start. Clarkie quits. Like, the next day, they fire Hitch. Homer comes in as a, you know, interim GM. But I remember Murph just absolutely kicking the floor like my fucking 7-year-old son would do if he doesn't get his way. You know, like, fuck.
Murph wanted to snap, eh?
Hey, oh, he wanted him to snap, and he wouldn't, you know.
So. Nasty, was that the game? I think I tried fighting that Wah kid. The Roy or Wah, whatever his name was, in like it was like a TV timeout, and so I'm skating over there, and I jump the kid, and I'm trying, and I'm telling the ref, "Get me out of the fucking game! I'm fucking terrible! Get me out of the game!" And I was just like, "I've had enough." It was like right in front of the bench, and then everything got broken up, and then the cameras come back on for TV. I'm in the net still getting shelled.
Hitch was not pulling him out, but he was gone, and because we went to Tampa that night, it was over after that. So
yeah, that's right.
That was a tough year for everybody, man. It was just a lot of change, you know. Like
Bobby Clark's still one of my favorite people in the world.
He's awesome.
He is amazing.
Yeah,
Mr. Flyer.
Yeah,
he's Flyer, legendary. Right, still floating around. See him now and then.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he going to be Monday?
I would think so. Yeah. I would think that he would show face. Yeah, for sure.
Is Homer going to play?
I don't think so.
Okay, because he was on a roster. I thought I saw his name, and I'm like, there's no way he's playing.
I'd love to see that.
No, you would.
Tuck's playing, though, right?
Tuck's playing.
He's amazing. That guy's amazing shape. Every time he gets in better shape. The older he gets a better shape.
Yeah.
Dude, he's so jacked.
Murray Craven. I was with Murray Craven out in Vegas when we were starting. We worked together starting the team up out there, the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
And Murray Craven's like the sweetest human being in the world. And he goes, have you ever watched Tuck? And him and Tuck are really, really close buddies. He goes, you know he's tough. When a guy walks with his thumbs out, he goes, just kind of I never heard that before. And I was pissing my pants laughing.
That makes you extra tough, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You gotta just walk with his thumbs out. I love that guy. I can't wait to see Tuck. I really can't. Oh,
he's awesome. Person. He was on a show a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaches, I got a question. Did you play for Shoney? You must have played for Schoenfeld,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
How was he? Was he pretty intense guy?
He was I remember odd story. I was an emergency recall. So I just signed with Phoenix. I got called up went over to Scottsdale, and it was the end of my junior career. And I'd practice up at the hotel or the ice den up there. And we'd go down to American West Arena down in downtown Phoenix. And so we're in the playoffs against, I believe it was the Red Wings. Yeah, I think it was the Red Wings. Nikolai Habibulin gets hurt. And so they put in, I believe it was Jimmy Waite. I don't know if I got all my facts right here, but I think it was Jimmy Waite that went in for him. And I was eating nachos with Jim McKenzie up in the suite. Like, I shit you not. Like, eating the nachos. My agent said, hey, you're going to go there to get an experience to practice. You can't play. Don't worry about it. And this guy, Rich Nair, comes in. He goes, listen, he goes, you got to go in. I go, what do you think? I'm an idiot. I know I know you guys are setting me up. Go put whatever goal he's supposed to go in. You go find that guy. You know, so I go downstairs, and Shoney is losing his mind on the trainers because they didn't have my equipment there because obviously I wasn't actually, but there's a loophole in emergency recall. Long story short, he's like, you know, completely red, you know, like losing his mind. They don't have my equipment. I'm like, well, I'll go back upstairs. He goes, oh no, you're going in the net. I go, how am I gonna go in? I had to wear Darcy Walkalock's equipment. Now I'm 6'2", 220 pounds. I had to put my feet in those skates. I'm like, my god, I was step foot on this ice. I'm gonna be my career's over before it starts. But thank god I just stayed on the bench. I didn't even go out and, like, you know, fist bump anybody. I was like, don't touch the ice.
Good job, boys. Man. I'll see you in the room.
But Shoney was, God, he was a man's man. You know, like, just couldn't help. And Torch was the assistant there.
Oh, geez.
You know, and I'm sitting there, you know, and it was funny because two of my, you know, favorite teammates, you know, Keith Tkachuk and JR, you know, I think people made more about it than what actually was going on. You know, like, I don't really know the dynamics of it. I was a rookie at the time. I'm looking at Rick Tocchet, you know, and JR and Walt used to battle back and forth, you know, just give me the puck, you know, give me the puck, you know, like both those guys, you know, they'd battle back and forth. And I idolized, you know, Tocchet and both those guys, JR and Walt, and I still do. But I used to sit there and think, like, Tocchet, a guy who's fought everybody, scored 50 goals plus in this league, you know, like, just what's he, you know, how does he deal with those guys? I've always wanted to answer that question. I never did. But Shoney balanced that, I thought, in a really, you know, the best way he could, along with Torts, for that matter.
Yeah, Chief really liked him. He had him as a coach. And he said he made me fucking laugh because he was just so sarcastic sometimes, you know, like the shit he would say. And someone told me, I don't remember who told me the story, but they were saying, like, you know, you know how JR is. He kind of just said what the fuck he wanted to say. And one of the guys told me that they were in a meeting and JR kind of lipped off a little bit about the video. And Shoney's like, all right, boys, everybody out, except JR. And he starts undoing his shirt, rolling his sleeves up. Right? Is that true? Like, is that a true story?
A little different than that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't a video. They got the video before the game. It was Walt and him. So we're leaving after the first period, or we got off the ice, and back then you were like under the bleachers, a weird little turnaround there at AmeriQuest Arena. I don't know what was said. I have no clue. And JR and Walt can tell the story way better than I, because they were in it.
Yeah.
Walt said, stay the, or Shoney's like, stay the fuck here. Walt, JR, they called him into the locker room, turns around, and Shoney locks the door. And all I remember is all of us like looking around. So we're on the outside of the locker room and they're inside. You're just screaming, bitching. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Like I said, they were in the room. I wasn't. I was too young to ask, you know, what happened. I was just appreciative that JR and Walt even talked to me. Yeah. You know, so I didn't say like a word. And they get in there though, and I just remember Walt and JR's face being white when we got into the That's all I remember.
Fucking Shoney's a big man, dude.
And Walt is fearless. I mean, when I tell you fear, like Walt would do anything. Oh my god. And so is JR though. JR was fearless too.
Yeah.
Awesome teammates, great people, but I never asked that question in, you know, 20 some years. I'd love to find out what.
Yeah, I just thought it was, I can't remember who told me that, but I was like, I couldn't imagine. It'd be a little different with Hitch rolling up. Ashley,
yeah, right. Yeah, a little different vibe, right?
Or
yeah.
Shoney rolling up his sleeve and locking the door. Oh, man. Fuck. Yeah, I just wondered about that, if you were there for that.
I was. I don't, like I said, I was too young to ask a question. I never got around to doing it.
So I wanted to ask you, Riles and I were talking about it earlier. I was with the Phantoms at the time, so we had this huge brawl with Ottawa. Binghamton. And they had a tough team. Phantoms had a tough team. I think it was like set the record for all-time penalty minutes in this game. It's when Neil Little went flying in, you know, fucking thank God, God rest his soul, Razor didn't get a hold of Neil because he may not have played another may not have played another game in his career. Sorry, Lids, but and he knows that. But then the next week, Ottawa comes
that close.
It was like a week, wasn't it, Rick?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think it was like a week later.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. I remember the Superman and Ritzy though.
Yeah. And you guys had an absolute just shit show with them too. It was just so funny because it's the same, you know, obviously team, their affiliate. Do you remember what like started that whole thing?
Hey, do you for you guys, was Chief on the team then?
Yes, when
he was,
Yeah.
You remember him? He was like kneeling, he had one leg up and he's just drilling this guy like he's starting a chainsaw.
A little European little guy. The funny thing about that was Eshi. So when the first one happens, it took literally 20 minutes for the refs to figure it out. I mean, it was a gong show. So they finally get it situated. Chief's like looking at Johnny Stevens and he goes, get me out there. And he goes, I'm saving you. And he's like, what? He goes, I'm saving you. So he sends the next five out. PJ Stock's on the team. But Stalker had his face broken. So he's got a cage on. So Johnny's like, all right, you know, sends a five out, and Stalker turns around on the bench, goes, watch this. And Ray had been sent to the locker room. So that's why obviously Stalker was fucking nuts and had big balls anyway. But linesman drops the puck, doesn't even try to win the faceoff, straight to the goalie, runs him right through the fucking goal. Here we go again. Fucking. So another, you know, five on five, whatever. So then the third one was Chief, and we finished the game with two extra players, just two guys on the bench because everyone got, you know, shit. But he ended up grabbing – he was going to fight the Brookbank, but Brookbank grabbed Ben Stafford. And the funny thing was, he was up against the glass, and he was looking for Chief because he knew Chief was coming.
Yeah.
So Ducky caught him right in a button with a punch, like, you know, and it kind of curled his head. And meanwhile, Chief's got this little Euro just, like you said, starting a chainsaw, was not stopping.
Was Grant on that team or no? He was later.
No, that was the next year or the following year.
He was a tough son of a bitch. When he was over in Vitesse in Russia, they had like this massively tough team, you know, like Chris Simon, right. Brad Sugden. I mean, it was like everybody.
Yeah.
And this owner would just pay money to, like, they give them bonuses, just go beat the shit out of people. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I know this is coming. They're coming right at me. And I was fucking scared shitless. I was like, I don't need to get beat up by these guys. I don't even want to go over to Russia. I don't need to get beat up too.
Oh, my arm.
And I was, in my head, the whole thing, I'm going in, like, there's nothing to like about fighting. I don't care what anything. Nothing to like about fighting. But I was like, I'm going, all I could think is, what the hell's a kid's name? Darcy Verrall.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
If I'm hitting anybody, if Grant's coming after me, I'm going towards Darcy Verrall. Because I remember how tough Grant was. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because we had Gratz on, and he told this story, and it sounded like the owner wanted Gratz to grab you.
Oh,
like, I'm not Gratz. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like,
he goes, you grab the goalie.
You grab the goalie, and he's like, well, I'm not going to grab Eshie. Like, you know? Yeah. So,
he told us that story.
He told us that story, Gratz. Yeah.
I appreciate you for not doing that, Gratz.
Yeah. We'll send him a note.
Yeah.
Eshie thanks you.
He said that owner carried the pistol. Are you kidding me, man?
It was nuts. It was nuts over there. It was absolutely crazy.
Well, we were talking about before you came on, Ashley. You had 54 and 57 minutes. Yeah, so you must have done something. You must have done something while you were there.
Over that? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's different. It's not like North America. I mean, a lot of those, you're practicing twice a day. A lot of those guys don't want to be there. You know, so you're an American guy, you're cocky, you know, you think you're tougher than anything. So that was kind of me.
Yeah, right.
Unless Grattan or Chris Simon or whatever. It was like,
I'm good. Just the goalie.
Yeah. But that Ottawa game was funny. I think it was 422 minutes or something.
Oh, man.
Brash went out there. I mean, it was. He went up and down the ice. He was fighting Rob Ray come hell or high water. And it was a really good fight for Brash. You know, obviously Rob Ray is an amazing human being and earned every stripe he's ever gotten in that league. But then when the fight was over, Brash, and there's like, we were just watching the fight. There's like a whole group of people just standing next to each other. And Brash skates right in the middle, and I forgot who he pumped. He hit somebody. And then everything broke loose. Todd Simpson and I played in Phoenix together, and he's just wailing on Danny Markov. And so I literally just went into like pull. I'm like, Simmer, get the fuck off this guy. You're gonna, yeah. You know, like, we had a good team. We're, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like pulling him off. Next thing I know, Patrick Lilly, like, this guy pulls me around. He's got like no helmet on, nothing. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? You get out here so quick.
Would you get here?
And then, you know, it was great. He got my jersey off, which I appreciated. And it went longer. I don't know how you did it, Riley. Like, those fights, they take everything off. Oh, and I'm holding him against the board. And the second half of the fight was way better for me. And then he's up against the glass. And I hold him there. He goes, we're done. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we don't need to rush to break this up. You're like, your lungs are through your chest. It's like, because it went on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Then the very next shift, everybody dropped their gloves, and Rexy fought, Johnny LeClaire fought. I mean, everybody was fighting. And Sean Burke went in the net, and he says, and then Pruschek, was it Pruschek maybe, the goalie for Ottawa, the backup goalie? After the lean, I don't know. He goes, I can't go. He goes, what am I going to do? I can't go fight a Euro. He goes, if I lose that fight, I'm
going to lose. Yeah.
He goes, I ruined my whole reputation. I'm not going to get beat up by a Euro. Berkey, I'll tell you what, Berkey was one tough son of a bitch.
Oh. Yeah, man. Oh. When so funny story. I came up to visit my dad when I was a kid, and he was the trainer with the Flyers. And I drove in the truck up to the game, and we're leaving. Well, the Flyers lost, so after the game, Hexy's coming off the ice, and there's no one around. Well, he just fucking spears his stick. He's pissed off, so he throws his stick. Well, of course, he lets it out of his hand, and the stick boy comes around a corner, fucking rails him right in the fucking head.
Oh shit!
So yeah, I mean, it didn't like cut him somehow, but it gave him a nice mark. And obviously, Hexy didn't mean to do that. As crazy as he was, And he just stormed past, goes in the room. We're literally pulling up the driveway, the whatever you call it, through the tunnel. And Berkey ran, and he's hitting the fucking side of the truck. True story. And we stop, and he goes, "You tell that fucking Hextall he's dead. He hit the kid with a stick, blah, blah, blah." My dad's like, "He honestly didn't mean to. I was standing there. He threw it. The kid came." He's trying to like take calm it all down. Yeah, but fucking Berkey was fucking losing it. And he was a tough motherfucker. He was big too. Berkey's so a big man too.
Oh yeah, he was big. He's like 6'3". I mean, and years ago, I got to play with him. He was an idol of mine growing up. And then, you know, later on, because he played in New Jersey when I was watching the Utica Devils. He was in Jersey. They went to the semifinals or whatever. I mean, awesome, 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 awesome guy. One of my best friends. He was my mentor in Phoenix. Came over to us with Philly, but he was so competitive and so tough, and was not scared of anybody. Like tough guys, not even the least bit scared of shit. And him and I would compete with each other. Oh my God. At the end of the year, we'd play a one-on-one game. We're both forwards. We ended up in this stick twinging thing with each other, boy. Like trying to kill each other. I'm like,
yeah,
we're best friends. And neither one of us will apologize to each other. Right. We played ping pong in Philly. I chucked that ping pong paddle and missed his head by like that much. It was right before the conference finals. We must've been, it was after the Toronto series. Or no, it was the Toronto series. I whipped the ping pong paddle. I'm like, what the fuck did I just do? This guy's going to rip my head off.
Well, Eshi, it's funny you say that because one of the things I was going to bring up is like, you were one of the most, I only got to spend a year with you, but like, you're one of the most competitive fucking guys. And you, people say like, well, aren't they all competitive? Yeah, everyone's competitive, but like, I loved just how focused you were and fucking, you just put it all out there, man. You know, even, you know, and that year it sucked because just everything was fucked up. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, I get it.
One of the worst years of Flyers history.
Yeah.
Not for any one person's reason, but it was just a tough year. But man, you were one of the most competitive people.
Great guys. A lot of good people on that team. You know, it's funny. I got a son who's Whalen, who's a goalie now. He's an 05. He's a great goalie. He's my size already. He's got better footwork than I ever had. That's for damn sure. But it's funny. My biggest mistake, and I've said it to so many kids, and I don't think they understand. Like when I got to the NHL, all I thought I had to do was compete and work hard. And I was going to be damned if I wasn't going to be the hardest worker. And like, I don't care if Johnny LeClaire's taking a slap shot on Monday morning, I'm going to try to out-compete Johnny on that shot. But I never worked on my fucking game. I didn't. I really never, like, I never got into, like, technically working on shit, you know? And I think that's why my career was, you know, not that long in the NHL. Because when I went over to Russia, it dawned on me, like, you know, if you want to keep playing and making good money, you got to, you know, you got to redefine yourself constantly and continuously. And that's what development is all about. These guys, you know, for me, when I got to the NHL, I was like, I'm here now. I'm just going to be a mean, miserable fuck. And I'm going to, you know, compete like a bastard. Honestly, I wish I could have done a lot of things different in that way. I didn't mind, you know, I just felt like I could have been a better teammate other than just a massively competitive person. There's so many different things I think I missed along the way, but oh well.
I can relate to that.
You don't get experience until you already need it.
Yeah. Where was Reggie Lemelin? Isn't that what the goalie coach is for?
I love Reg, but we weren't doing anything technical.
No. Hey, actually, that it's funny you said that, Riggs. So near the end of the year, we were in Chapel Raleigh playing the Hurricanes, and Reg made the trip, and we had picked up Michael Layton, who ended up coming back again. But we're at top of the hill in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, like right near the campus there. It's on the campus, Kent River, the whole team. And we look over, and fucking Reggie's in a goalie stance with Leitz going blocker saves. He's like, and we're all like, what the fuck is going on over here? Like, so everyone's kind of turned, like, all this shit's going on around us, and these two are fucking doing like working out or something. I don't know, like talking about saves. And I remember Randy Robitaille, who started the season with us, Eshie.
Yeah.
And then he got traded right away to the island when things were the greatest there. And he goes, "Yeah, you guys fucking shipped me there. I would have rather gone anywhere." He goes, "I'm sitting in my little cubicle having a bagel because they don't feed us." You know, like, he's just kind of being a smart ass, being funny. But he goes, when he had got traded late, must have like got thrown in a game or something. And he goes, "Hey, Nast, who's the guy with the beige pads?" Because he came from Anaheim.
That's
and,
right.
He looked, and I fucking fell. He said to me and Bricks, he was like, "Hey, boys, who's the guy with the beige pads?" He goes, "Tell him to close that five hole because I'm going to bury one." But anyway, fucking Reg.
Oh, Reg.
I enjoyed Reg. He was good. I mean, it was different, though. I mean, shit. I'm looking at some of these goalie coaches now. And
different animal, eh?
Oh, it's so different. I mean, the organizations have 4 and 5 people that are just looking over their goalies.
Yeah.
Goalie scouts, you know, you got goalie whisperers, you got technical goalie coaches, you got AHL goalie coaches, you got, you know, your junior and your, you know, other prospect goalie coaches. I mean, Sean Burke, oddly enough, is probably the ultimate goalie whisperer out there. I don't know why people aren't paying him, you know, $500,000 to $1 million to take care of their. I mean, he had Briskalov, he had Mike Smith, he had Dubnyk. You know, he was with Carey Price last year. You know,
that's right.
You know, there's so many great attributes that Berkey has. I mean, I remember getting blown out in Phoenix, and he goes, and I was, you know, hanging my head. I had long hair at the time. My hair is down. He's just like, he goes, "Chico," he goes, I'm gonna let you in a little secret. He goes, "This wasn't the first time this happened." And I'm like, "No, I got pulled before. I gave up a lot before." He goes, "And it's not going to be the last time," he said. Right. And I'm just sitting there looking at this guy, and he's just like so calm. He goes, "Get ready. We're going to go out. We're going to go have some drinks at the bar. We'll work on this shit tomorrow." And he just had like this calming influence on everybody that was around him. I mean, he was great at that. Yeah. I mean, these guys now, like Ian Clark out in Vancouver, amazing. I love John Elkin up in Toronto area or with the Leafs. He's one of the guys there. I love him. I mean, we get, you know, Sanford, or they're just amazing. The technique that they teach these guys is amazing.
Yeah, it is. You're right, though. I mean, it's so different, man. It's like when I was still with the team a year and a half ago, Kim Dillabaugh's is their goalie coach now. I'm not saying he makes the decisions on who's playing, but the coaches actually go to them like, "Who, you know, what do you think?" You know, and he's like, "Well, I think Hartsey should play this game and then probably throw Moose in this and then go back." You know, like, it's crazy. They're making decisions. I don't know if it's like that with every team. And I'm not saying he has the ultimate decision, but they do lean on those guys like crazy.
Yeah.
For the goalies. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah. I think every team's, we had Cloutier here too. He was an amazing guy. I love Dan Cloutier, but every team's different. I mean, some guys, I mean, I will say one thing about Hitch. I really like the way Hitch had a feeling of who was playing. Like, we were with Roman Cechmonic and shit. I got my name on the Jennings Trophy because if that guy even was walking near the medical room, I knew I was going in. I knew I was starting. I picked up an extra 8 games that year just by him smelling the medical room. And I was like, "Shit, I'm involved." And he ended up, and then now my name's on the Jennings Trophy in the Hall of Fame. Like, this is awesome.
I know it is, man.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I did nothing.
Wow.
Well, yeah. 25 games.
Hey, man, yeah, right. Your name's there, brother. That's funny you said that, though, if he got near
it. Oh, you know that's how he was.
As she was sitting in the hallway just waiting to see where he went. Right?
Yeah, right. Keep an eye on him. Said that way.
Do I got to get warmed up or not? Let me see if I get warmed up. Shit. And then when Roman was on, he was good. God, he was good.
The old headbutt. I remember he started the season when he came over with the Phantoms. He played like the first 3 games, and Litz was, you know, on the team. Neil Little and Litz was like, "This guy's pretty fucking good." He's like, "He's pretty fucking good." We started Scranton, and I'll never forget the first time I saw the old fucking helmet, the headbutt or whatever they called it. The fucking guy just fucking fires one in and he fucking gives it out. like, did he do that on purpose? And Litz goes, I think he did. I'm like, who the fuck wants to get hit in the goddamn head, man?
Well, I remember him and Bush battling it out. And then they ended up trading Bush for Michael Hanzus. And everybody's like, oh, we traded Bush for Robert Ashton. I'm like, that is not the trade that happened. I was a throw-in. I was supposed to go to the minors.
Tossed in the package.
I was the throw-in. They just needed a goalie for the AHL team. But it ended up working out good. But it was Michael Hanzus for Bush, just to be clear. Dude,
you don't give yourself enough credit.
Bush was awesome. He was another.
Yeah, was awesome.
Fucking Bush, a funny bastard.
I heard Lacey's playing Monday.
Is he? Oh, talk about growings! Holy fuck, man! I didn't think he was ever in the since the outdoor game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I saw on one of the emails he was on one of the playing rosters. I don't know. Okay. Hopefully, him and I get to split, so we won't gotta do a full game.
Yeah, I know, right?
Throwing that out there.
Throw you guys are the Wolves.
Just throw that out there now.
Homer, if you're listening.
Yeah, right. Right on. Well, we appreciate your time there, Chico. I know you got some stuff to do. You got to recover since you had a big workout this morning.
Oh, it's still damn. Still
heart's still 120 miles.
We got to say real quick, Riggs, about the golf tourney. When you invited us, you were kind enough to invite us up there. Oh, boy. I was fucking hurt for a week, man. Riggs had to drive home.
Oh, man. We couldn't golf.
What a night, man.
Epic tournament.
Now, you know, I don't know if you remember this, because I know you've had a few of these, but Coatsy was speaking, and he's like the guy you want to speak, right? Riggs, I don't know if you remember this.
I remember, yeah.
We were in one.
Yeah.
I've never seen Coatsy more rattled. He got up there and he's going through his routine and he goes to tell a joke and he forgets a part of it. So he tries to go back to kind of start it over, and the whole ballroom starts just fucking chirping him, you know. And it's a bunch of players and then all your people that are there. I don't know if you remember Eshie, but
I remember.
I'm like, I've never, Coach, he was so red. I actually felt bad for him because he's so good at talking and telling stories and shit. And he fucked the whole thing up. And I remember it finishing and I'm like, oh, well, no big deal, whatever. Someone else goes up to tell a story. Litz is telling a story about banging somebody on the road. And Rex is like, down to like someone were hanging pictures in the room next door, you know, last night. And Litz is like, oh, that was me. I'm like, thank God you're not playing, kid. But I remember walking back to get a drink and Coatsy's sitting by himself. Like, the place is packed, man. The show you put on actually was amazing. But Coatsy's by himself at a table with his head.
Oh, yeah, he was devastated.
And I'm like, Coatsy, here, want a drink? He's like, nah, Dion. I'm like, what? What? Did you just say no to a drink, for fuck's sakes?
I never knew he was devastated.
He was embarrassed.
Yeah.
Dude, he finally got up, but I mean, for 30 minutes, he just sat there. He just like, I can't believe I fucked that joke up. I'm like, dude, everybody's hammered. No one's even going to remember. Next day, everybody's saying, good speech, Coatsy. Okay, maybe they did remember. but it was, man, a great time.
Anyway. Yeah, it was great.
So much fun. It was great, man. And I got to say this. Eshie, Riggs, you weren't there. Eshie took us to Kid Rock one night. Backstage.
That's your boy.
Yeah, I got fucked up that night,
dude,
too.
Oh, phew, you got fucked up. Yeah. Well, yeah, you left. You left. And I swear to God, Riles, I think we went to get our car. It was me and a couple of guys from the Phantoms. And we played the next day, Sunday, at like 5. It's 4 a.m. So, I mean, we literally party with a guy till then, like till 4. And he's like, he had to get on the bus. I think he was going to Boston. And I remember like, oh, fuck this. I wasn't even tired the next day or hungover because I was just I had so much fun. I was like, dude, he was like the coolest dude. And we go to get our cars in Camden. The fucking gate's closed. Can't get into the parking garage. And I'm like looking around going, what the fuck are we going to do now, man? We're in Camden. Looking around, we finally got a cab there at like 5. I get home at like 5:30. I had to go back get my car when they fucking opened the things up. But that was an awesome night, actually.
Yeah, I know. I love Kid. World Cup is when I met him. Chelios set up a charter plane and took Scott Gomez, me, DiPietro, Smolinski, There's somebody else. I'm trying to think who it was, but we all smoked. So we all go up to, I think it was Clarkson, Michigan or something. We took a private jet up there in the middle of World Cup training camp. And it's the first time I met him. He is a brilliant guy, like extremely smart, fun to talk to, fun to party with. He's got the whole thing covered.
He's just such an entertainer too, man. Like, he plays every instrument. Fucking awesome, man. I think
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I actually took Chief like the next year, I think. Chief went with me to see him. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, dude, trust me, you're gonna love it. He plays everything, dude. He plays everything.
Rocks out.
He's like, I'm not into that rap. I went, it's rap, but it's almost not, man. It's like, but he plays a lot of rock and roll shit, like covers, he's fucking really, really good. Riggs, remember the one night we met him, and then the next year he looked worn the fuck out.
Yeah, he looked overtired.
Actually, I don't think you were with us that night. I felt bad for him. I remember he had said he was in New York doing he did the Good Morning America show, then he had to do radio all day, then bust in, did radio here, had to perform, and he looked beat.
I went on a bus trip with him. It was in Fort Wayne, then we went down to Lexington, Kentucky, and then Nashville. Ooh. And it was during the lockout. I mean, that lifestyle is just so tough. I mean, to me, I think the guy does an amazing job of being able to just get up and perform the way he does for everybody every single night. Because, I mean, it's just a grind. Yeah. I mean, I'm in there. I mean, we're drinking drink for drink the whole friggin' time, playing the guitars with each other, going down, and he's got to go out and do this shit in front of like 30,000 people in like a few hours. I'm like, I'm fucking doing it. I was constantly, shit face the whole time. And then I left Nashville. I was like, hey, listen, I can't be a hockey star and a rock star. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you gotta pick one.
I did. I went home and I was like, I'm done. I was like, what the hell just happened?
I never thought you'd tap out at. That's funny.
Yeah, I did. I did tap out. That's the one guy that got me to tap out.
That one night there made me tap out for about a week and a half because I was after the high wore off Sunday night. I'm like, oh god, fuck, that was. I don't know because I had a beer in my hand. He goes, and he was such a good dude. He was like, remembered my name. Like he was like, well, nasty. He was like, nasty. What are you drinking? I'm like, Miller Lite. He goes, get over here, and he pours me the Beam and Coke. It was Beam.
Yeah, right.
What a splash. Okay, you want to throw a little more Coke in there? Because I don't drink that shit. But what do you say, no?
So yeah, you got to say no.
Two later, I am fucking on Pluto. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. It made me sick, but I didn't even give a fuck. I was like, it was the coolest night ever. But anyway, it was awesome. And as she took us. But we do appreciate you, man. I know you're busy, brother, man. And congratulations.
On Monday.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Congratulations on all your success, man. It's awesome to see, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too. I really enjoyed talking with you guys. You guys brought up a lot of great memories that I guess slipped a little bit. When you get busy, you forget about some of that stuff. But nothing but love and respect for Philadelphia Flyers. I know that. I had a fun time with everybody there. Really
That's
did.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you, man. Right, we'll see you in a week.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Yes, we will. I will see you guys Monday.
All right, brother.
A couple reps in there.
Did Parm shooting a couple of those off-speed shots at you.
Muffins. Knuckle punch.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
All right, brother. See you, man.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, Nas. I know you're ready to learn a new language. Well, after speaking with Goody last week.
I know.
You're right. Thinking. And we got to do something about that. We got to get you speaking a little bit better English and maybe find another language. But happy to announce a new sponsor. We are partnering with Babbel. Babbel is the best online source of interactive language courses that anyone can use to learn languages in an effective and entertaining way. Beautiful.
Yeah.
The mission is to get you speaking a new language with confidence as soon as possible. I think you need that, Nest.
I need confidence, but I'll tell you the truth about it. It's learning through conversation, like no random words and phrases. Babbel teaches you language skills for real life scenarios, like at the bar or somewhere else. But no, real life scenarios. Each lesson features a dialogue to help you apply what you've learned.
And comprehensive language courses. Babbel exercises help you strengthen all four fundamental language learning, reading, writing, listening, and speaking.
And long-term retention regs. Babbel reintroduces words through six memory stages using the technique of spaced repetition. The review feature helps you lock in what you've learned, regs, when you're at risk of forgetting it most.
And Nasty, Babbel is designed with you in mind. You specifically, Nast.
Me. I need it.
Every learner is different, obviously. That's why Babbel offers personalized learning paths. Choose the topic and learning level that's right for you.
That's right, and brother.
That's probably level one, Nast.
That's probably my levels one. But I'll tell you what, just go to Babbel.com and use promo code Nasty for 40% off your first subscription. Do it.
Let's go. And a big thank you to Chico Robert Esch.
Oh, my man.
Hopping on episode 48. Dude, love Eshy, man. He was so nice to reconnect, man. He is a stand-up guy, you know, and I'd love to see him doing well post-career and having a vision. And
man, he's worked his ass off to create that whole thing there. He's given other people credit, which they deserve too, but he doesn't ever give himself enough credit. He's the one that put his foot down and said, hey, let's do this. He put all the grunt work in with other people, but man, he's doing awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's done an amazing job there. We say 9 years, you know, he had the vision, you know, he used his contacts, right? And Peter Luco, and start building this team around him and executed, you know, and not just on a small level. He's sustained an amazing franchise there and built a community, you know, within a community. Which is huge in Utica, New York, right?
I was going to say, that's tough. You don't have college, like, you know, like that's all that's there. Like but he's created that.
Yep.
And I'm sure, you know, that's why it's sold out for what do you say? The last 8 years, seven, eight years.
Yeah. It's amazing in the American
League.
Which is
really amazing.
Yeah. So. And, you know, and just, you know, going back to his playing career, I mean, you know, a worker, and you can see the translation, right? I mean, he talked about it on the pod. He was, you know, he wished he could have maybe worked on a little more skill, but he was a worker, you know, he poured it all in. And obviously he's taken that attitude in his post career. So happy for him and happy for his success. And hopefully that train keeps moving along and he keeps having success because it's great what he's doing.
The 10-year deal too doesn't hurt.
Yeah, no, right?
Devils,
yeah,
that's exactly. That's awesome. That's huge, man.
A little breathing room there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's funny you say it going year to year. Every December he's like, oh boy.
Yeah, right. but you get the old 10-year deal, man.
That's
you've
nice.
Done something right. You've proved that's the awesome. Concept. Let's put it that way.
I need a 10-year deal.
Yeah, I know, right? You and me both.
Somebody get me one.
Any takers out there?
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm hearing crickets. Fuck. Yeah,
all right. Never mind. Oh, all right,
Nas. Well, all right, brother.
That's a wrap. Episode 48 in the books. Be sure to tune in next week. Episode 49. Until then, knuckleheads, stay safe.
See you, knuckleheads.
Later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.